Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. And today it's going to be a little bit more than just mind power. But you're going to need to have some of that mental alacrity so that you can, well, stretch maybe a little bit further in thinking and questioning than maybe you ever have before. Today we're talking with Bryce Zavell. His book is called AD, for an abbreviation of after disclosure. The subtitle of the book might intrigue you. When the government finally reveals the truth about alien contact. I can tell you, though, there's more than just stuff in here about aliens. So we're going to get right to it. Bryce Zavell, welcome to the show.
It's my pleasure to be with you, and we are. We're going to talk about all kinds of things.
Yes, we are, Bryce. Now, you are a CNN correspondent. Interestingly enough, you have involved in the screenwriting, which doesn't surprise me, and I think that would make you a very good screenwriter. You've done more than one network television series. You've been involved with so many different applications of developing shows, etc. And you have had even a working association with Steven Spielberg. This book of yours really intrigues me because I think just about everybody's heard about ETs and UFOs, and this is something that's constant conversation anymore, constant conversation. You bring out in your book how Steven Spielberg has produced so many movies that have to do with the out of space or alien personalities, et cetera. Gene Roddenberry has done it. I mean, this has been going on for a long, long time, but we're having more and more of this coming forth. And I think in the minds of the general public, it's not that unexpected. But I found it fascinating how you went through your procedure in the book, talking about the others, talking about secret government programs. What in the world ever made you decide to put this together?
Well, I wrote the book
with all of this stuff that's going on.
Well, I wrote it with Richard Dolan, who many people know is kind of one of the world's leading authorities on the whole unidentified phenomenon issue. And then, of course, as you pointed out, I've got some experience in dramatic storytelling. And it just seemed to me to be the best what-if that one could ever discuss, which is if we tend to get information all the time about the Hubble telling us that it's found new planets and you know, all the idea that there's a Mars rover out there looking for signs of water on Mars because maybe that could mean a microbe was out there. Well, we have gotten to the place where we are ready to believe that we are not alone. That's hardly a big shock to us, as you pointed out. But the question is, what will happen when we realize that it isn't just a microbe that's out there, but what would happen if we realize that the actual other life forms are here in our neck of the woods, in our neighborhood, and here now? How would that change things? And as you pointed out, the title of the book is AD, After Disclosure. We think that it's such a shocking change that it'll really reboot the calendar, whether it's official or unofficial. But this is a dividing line kind of moment in human history when the entire planet, not just a few people, but the entire planet, comes to a realization all at once that we're not alone and that we have company actually here on Earth. And that will be something that will cause everyone to remember in the same way that they remember where they were when JFK died or when 9/11 happened. It will cause people to remember where they were when they realized that there was a reality to this whole UFO ET business.
I find it so interesting. Of course, I'm an avid reader and have been for most of my life, but in doing this daily talk show, I have come across so much material in my 11 years of doing this programming. And I can remember, even before I started doing my show, that reading about the Aborigines, who have a cave in Australia, mm-hmm. where they recorded a star system that's centuries old. They don't even, I think they may, the elders or most of them are gone now. But it's all there. And that so many cultures have spoken and addressed this. And I just am really intrigued with the data that you give here. Now, one of the things you say in front, right in the very beginning of your book, you didn't publish this to make people afraid. And I thought, well, anybody with 50 cents worth of common sense is going to read this. They're not going to be afraid of all. They're going to say, well, gee whiz, isn't this something
right.
that is a fascinating element? And I really think with all of the exposure that's come out through the Internet and through people having cell phones and taking pictures and people being more and more open about what they've seen and experienced, I mean, it is absolutely incredible. And how the code of silence is being broken by so many individuals who will, I know, because I've had people talk to me.
And yet, if you go talk to your next-door neighbor or people at a party and ask them what they think about this, not too many people have this on their minds. That's why when it really comes down to it, it will be the most single most transformative event of our human history. And it won't just change how you think. It will change all elements of society. Every institution is going to be rocked by this, whether it's government or media or the economy or culture, you name it, the military. Every element of our society will be transformed in some way. Think about it. Just think about the education system. Well, you're going to have to rewrite all those history books, aren't you? And you'll have to do it pretty fast.
Well, I'll tell you.
So a lot of things are going to be happening.
Columbus wasn't the first one to discover America, and so far they haven't changed the history books yet. So I think it's going to take a little bit longer.
I don't think so. Honestly, I mean, I think when you let's define what disclosure means in this case, though. For me, disclosure means when someone in a position of authority, and it could be a president, as many people commonly assume, but it could be a premier or a prime minister or even the Pope, but somebody in a position of authority says out loud that which we don't hear too often from officialdom, which is this whole UFO ET thing has some reality to it. When somebody in a position of authority acknowledges that there are things flying around out there made by somebody who isn't us from somewhere that isn't here, that will be disclosure. And that'll be a little more direct and real and authentic than arguing about whether Columbus was the first guy here hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And that's why it'll be such a transformative thing. Back when Columbus landed, most people had no idea he'd even left. This society we live in, because of the media, and you're a good example of it, Donna, but the media that we live in, the cocoon of media and instant communication, will be on fire instantly, and this knowledge will instantly sweep around the planet and instantly start its transformative power, and there's just no getting around it. So when we said that we're not out to scare anybody, I mean, that's not the idea of this whole thing. The idea is just to say it's coming. And the fact that it's coming and that we'll be here probably within the lifetime of everyone who is listening, then that means the people who are prepared for that information or ready to understand it or have begun to understand it already will be in a better position. It's the equivalent of, you know, if you know that a hurricane is going to blow through your town, it's nice to either get in the basement or take a short vacation. A little planning can go a long way here.
I find it intriguing, the information you've given, and especially in your chapter, Breakaway, How Secrets Create a World Within. I think this is one of the best, personal bias, one of the best sections in your book because of
thanks.
The specific details that you bring out, and I'm well aware of many of these things because of the interaction I've had with individuals through the years. and the shows that I've done and the interviews I've conducted. The history on the secret groups, and there's even been movies made about it, that the government, and all government is really, you can't have a government without people. It's not a building, it's not a place, it's a grouping of people that are going to be overseeing masses of other people. And so when you have this select group of people that are deemed to be the decisive maker, choice makers, if you will, decision makers, then they do all kinds of things. And one of the things that's come into the forefront in today's world, because of the internet, because of our capacity for communication, is this phenomenal amount of secrecy on so many levels. The right hand often doesn't know what the left hand is doing. And you bring this out in the book. The Congress many times does not know anything about these undercover groups, and often the military is behind it. And I was really intrigued about the black budget that you bring out in the book, and that in 1994, a law was passed requiring the federal government to account for its money in a business-like way. Really? I mean, gee whiz, every American in this country has to be sure to count every single penny because the IRS is going to come after you, and yet no accountability is held for those that are dealing with billions and trillions of dollars. And Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, and I quote directly from your book, on July 16, 2001, he spoke to the House Appropriations Committee regarding the Pentagon's fiscal year 2002 budget and said the financial systems of the department are so snarled up that we can't account for some $2.6 trillion in transactions. $2.6 trillion.
You can get in a lot of trouble with $2.6 trillion.
Think of what that would do regarding the deficit that we're always hearing about on the media. I mean, this is just, this is unconscionable. And I think that that's one of the things that the information in your book brings out. It's not just about UFOs. It's not just about the Roswell. It's not just about these other things. What I like about your material is that you're bringing out levels that enable this dynamic to be held in a very, very secretive positioning. And
well,
I really think it's really quite intriguing, not just really gripped me and grabbed me right away.
The question is, what do people look doing with all that money? And as it turns out, some of that money was later accounted for, but not all of it. And I think that we've all come to be very comfortable knowing that there are certain special, they call them special access projects out there, where there are things that need to be done, and obviously SEAL Team 6 couldn't have gotten Osama bin Laden if they hadn't been able to keep a secret. But then again, they didn't keep it entirely afterwards, did they? But at least the planning for the event was secret. So Rich and I came to the conclusion that obviously there are many managers of these secrets out there, and they're people like you and me. Some of them have barbecues on Saturdays with their family and take their kids to soccer matches. But what they do at the office is manage this rather large secret, which is there has been evidence for quite some time, and there is currently evidence of visitation by what Richard Dolan and I call the others. We don't call them aliens or extraterrestrials because that's simply one theory of their explanation of who they are. There could be other explanations. We just know that they're not us, so we call them the others. And so there's really three interest groups out there in our world today. There are the others, which we don't know very much about. Some people know a lot more than the average person, obviously. And that's the second group, which is the managers of this great and possibly grave secret. And then there's the rest of us who live in the world that we have before us right now. Even Bobby Kennedy, after his brother died, was famous for a quote that I'm paraphrasing, that when he that after his brother died, he realized that the world he lived in was not the real world. And I think that that's why AD after disclosure is all about a transformative event, because it will instead of just a few people waking up and seeing the world through a different filter, basically 8 billion people in a very short period of time are going to realize the world was not quite the way that they perceived it a month ago. And that will shutter the entire system sufficiently that it'll create change. And changes, remember, always an opportunity. There's always a downside of change and there's an upside of change. And there will probably be some rocky roads ahead in the midst of this change, but we'll probably be better for having gone through it. The world really comes down to a couple of different people on secrecy. And if I was to give you the spectrum of where people come on it, you would say that on one side is that theory that the people have a right to know, which is sort of the investigative journalism theory, that any news is good news, is relevant, and the people have a right to know that. And the other side is the phrase famously uttered by Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men and words written by Aaron Sorkin, which is that people can't that people can't handle the truth. And so the question is,
appalling.
That's
disgusting. I said, to me, that is appalling.
Well, I would say that too, except the only thing that I would put out there is that whoever is managing this secret knows more about what the secret is than you do and I do right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it is entirely possible that there is a darker side to the secret that I'm not aware of right now, and it will be hard to handle. I don't know that for a fact, but it's possible. So in other words, these people who have been keeping this secret all these years, and again, as we said, might include people you see at the weekend soccer match for your kids. They may not be bad people, but they may be bound by a bad truth. And really, at the end of the day, I simply come down on it on a personal basis with whatever the truth is, it's time to get it out there. There's good evidence that this has been going on for a long time. You talked about the Aboriginal paintings and all that. But from a modern era, it certainly does at least trace to Roswell. And so Roswell was 1947, so we're coming up on 70 years, seven decades since that.
Mm-hmm.
So my take on it is pretty clear, which is it may not be pretty. There may be elements of it that we can't get our brains around, and there may be disturbing truths to be learned, but we are a very resilient species. We've done pretty well for ourselves, all things being considered, and I'm going to bet on truth. So I'll go for truth. I'll take truth for 20.
I would absolutely agree with that. I think we do people a disservice. And whether it's the area of medicine, whether it's UFOs, no matter what it is, we always have to be open and willing to question and examine and not be afraid of a shift or change. And I say frequently on my show, our three greatest enemies are ignorance, fear, and superstition. And those things we're constantly going to be waging war against if we are awake enough to do it. And I think that, as you said, we're very resilient. When you go through your historical information and your documented information, you talk about how the National Security Agency is an amazing 35 years plus ahead of the rest of the world. And I think lots of times there have been things manufactured that people in their wildest dreams didn't even imagine were there. And I know for the purpose of secrecy, whether it was military or what have you, people would see them. They didn't know what it was, but they recognized certain things. And they would comment on them, and of course there was big denial. I think what's happening today is that more and more people are saying we are weary of being looked at as if we are immature children. And we have our families, we go to work every day, we have to take care of business. Why do you think we are that stupid?
Well, we have to create our own reality, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We have to, if we don't want to be treated as immature children, and who does, really, then we have to bring our game up to as high a level as we can. And clearly on the area of whether UFOs are a bona fide phenomenon or just a manifestation of something else, over the years, people have not behaved that well around that topic. The fact that there is a signal doesn't mean there it's not being surrounded by a lot of noise, or in the other metaphor, just because there's a fire doesn't mean there's not a lot of obscuring smoke. And I think it's our goal here in the in what I call the BC world, the before confirmation world, that will soon give way to the AD after disclosure world. It's our job to try to blow some of that smoke away so that the fire, the flame of truth, can be seen a little more clearly. And you can blame the secret managers for putting out disinformation, etc., but you also have to take some of your own credit and blame for this thing. To look at the internet is to see people who are not in the government employ, but are just average people doing their damnedest to obscure the truth by hoaxing events, by faking photographs mm-hmm. and videos, etc. And they're not really helping the overall march toward revelation and truth. And I wish they would knock it off, because it's certainly not helping.
I think they've always been there. They just have a bigger open market than they've ever had before.
Well, that's true, and it's changed the game. Even in the world of BC before confirmation, it's changed the game, because a photo from the 1950s of an unidentified flying object that was clear and structural really only had a couple of options. It might have been that garbage can lid tossed in the air, or it was something suspended by a string or whatever. But generally, the photos were harder to fake. Now, a good photo, it's almost the better the photo is, the more likely it is to be fake. So the kinds of things that are going to lead to this disclosure are not the same things that would have led to it before. In the 1950s, you certainly were going to have only a few news institutions looking into this, and those people could be reined in by powerful forces of the status quo. Now we have the dark side of the internet, but we also have WikiLeaks and things like that. So we are on track, where a number of these different things are going to come together into one sort of inescapable moment, where the people who are managing the secret will find it to their benefit to get out in front of the secret rather than to hide behind it all this time. And I am relatively convinced that will still happen in my lifetime. I'm absolutely convinced it'll happen in my children's lifetime, and it could happen tomorrow. So one really never really knows at this point.
You had, to my view, a very moving story about President Carter. Now, President Carter had made the statement that he had seen a UFO. And there are a number of people whose paths I've crossed, and they have talked about seeing UFOs, actually having communication
sure.
with those within the UFOs. And we're not talking about woo-woo people. We're talking about people that are clear thinkers. Many times they're business people, or they're involved in the sciences, what have you. But these aren't dinglings. So this is something that he did, but you made a comment that I was curious about, and that is that he was given some kind of a report, and at one time
right.
was found in his office weeping.
Well, listen, you're absolutely correct. 1976, 1980 were two really interesting elections, in that in 1976, Jimmy Carter was the Democratic candidate who said he had actually seen a UFO, running against Gerald Ford, the Republican candidate, who in the 60s represented Michigan during a UFO flap and had called for congressional investigations. In 1980, you throw Ronald Reagan into the mix, who also not only saw a UFO, but believed in UFOs, talked about UFOs during his term, and it was on a plane that chased a UFO once. So you had a more of an open discussion of it among our power center. But to go to the Carter story, as it is told, Carter ran on the platform that because he had seen a UFO, if he got elected, he would open up the files. So he became the poster child for, you know, public openness about the issue of flying saucers, if you will, which is amazing. I doubt that you could get elected in that environment today, but Carter did. And I'm a former investigative journalist. This is probably among the stories in the book that I'm on less solid ground on, in that almost everything else in the book is sourced with public sources, etc. This comes from a couple of sources who both remain unidentified, or at least unidentified to me through Richard Dolan, and it's been widely circulated. But that Carter, and it certainly makes intuitive sense since he said he would ask for this. But the idea being that Carter demanded to know what was really going on, and was told basically whatever he was told. No one, there's no source on what he was told, only that after this happened, he was viewed alone in the Oval Office with his head down and crying. Mm-hmm. And I will say, even though I personally can't attest for that story on Jimmy Carter by saying I've talked to the person who said that, I have talked to other people in other situations who have been briefed or claim to have been briefed on this, who came to the same kind of conclusion, which is why I say we have to be prepared for a potential truth that is a little out of the framework of our own reality and is a little disturbing. And frankly, why wouldn't it be a little disturbing? It's not from our world. It's a different truth. It's a different reality. And why have these visitors, these others, cross the vast stretches of either the universe or dimensions or time, however they have come here, why have they come here? And so whether disclosure will be a really bumpy ride or a smooth sailing ride or not depends a lot on what is disclosed. And Donna, I would just put it out here that the two primary things that people will want to know after disclosure or during the disclosure process, they'll have two questions they want answered, and that will be who are they and why are they here? And the answers to those two questions may seem simple, but let's take who are they. It may be that there isn't a single species and that there's multiple species and that we're actually kind of a crossroads of some kind of interaction that we're hitherto unaware of. And what do they want? The agenda of these different species may be in conflict. Some of them might be positive, and some of them might be negative. And the overall reality could be very challenging for humanity's future. We just simply don't know. And I tend to think, honestly, that the reason that we have not had an official disclosure is that even the people who manage the secret do not entirely have the answers to one and two. And it's kind of hard to acknowledge that there are craft flying around in your skies that you don't know exactly who they are or where they come from, since the number one role of the government is to provide security for its population. So that's kind of a... So to take it back to the Carter question, why would a president end up crying about something? It might very well be Carter being a very religious man and also being... elected to a position where he felt that he was the leader of the most powerful nation on earth, realized that both those assumptions were a little wrong.
Well, and on that note, I want my audience to know that this intriguing book, as I told you, it's going to stretch your mind a bit and open you up to some points of information that maybe you had not been aware of. My guest, Bryce Zabel, go to the website afterdisclosure.com. The book itself is AD Disclosure, when the government finally reveals the truth about alien contact, but there's a lot more in there. Not just that, a lot more in there that I think will make you think and go, I wonder where else I can check on this or what else I could check out. Bryce, thank you so much for being my guest today. Your book is well done, and it just leaves so many wonderful points of information out there. And I appreciate you taking the time with us today. Thank you.
Donna, my pleasure, and I hope people will join the conversation after they read it and be part of the solution instead of part of the problem. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Donna Sebo here. Check out AfterDisclosure.com. We're taking a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to give me a buzz, call me at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Expanding your mind and opening yourself up to probabilities. This is something we all are needing to do. And let's face it, technology has enabled us to shift into areas of, I'll call it in one sense, advancement, that we would never have even considered were possible. Well, as you do more studying, you'll find that computers really were utilized by the government a lot earlier than, let's say, the average everyday individual. But now we have generations that are coming up that are so comfortable with the technology and everything that is going on with it that it's just like, well, it's just there. It's part of their life. They don't give a second thought to it because they have been evolved in it. And that's what's happening at an incredible speed. At this time in our history, we are moving forward via technology that actually has been around for a long, long time, but the sophistication, utilization of it is coming forth to the public environment with increasing speed. And, of course, this has to change everything. It changes how we utilize agriculture. It changes so many things. And there's the upsides of it and the downsides of it, but I really think that the basics of human life are still the basics, and I think people in general do prefer the truth. But he made a good point, and that is that there can be the instigation of fear, and that is the biggest thing that we have to watch out for. That's the one thing that we need to always ask. What positioning is this information being presented in a positioning to manipulate it, to take away our right of choice? Is it motivated with fear? And how many decisions are made based upon fear? Not upon what we really know, but the fear, maybe the fear of the unknown. I think of something so simple as just washing the hands. Now, that is something we know in today's world you do. Well, there was a time, just a few hundred years ago, where professional people disclaimed this. They said, oh, this is terrible. There was a man, and I don't recall his name right now, but he noticed when he was working with women, delivering babies, doing things like this, when he cleaned his hands between patients, the women who were dying like flies weren't. They had healthy babies. they were coming out of the hospitals, because the verdict was by the common population, this, you don't go to the hospital. You go to the hospital, you're going to die. And women in general preferred having their babies at home, because they knew for sure they went into the hospital, they were going to die. Now, this is a few hundred years ago. Do you know today we have people that don't feel that washing your hands is important? That's right. And doctors of that era, a few hundred years ago, just absolutely, and these were brilliant men, and because women weren't allowed to be physicians, so these were brilliant men. And they said, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. They couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. And finally, it was accepted. Sometimes what we can't see, we don't understand because we don't have an awareness of it. And that's where the electronic microscopes and the other developments in machinery and equipment of various types has just made such a difference, because we've been able to find out about things. And the sophistication and advancement of that has enabled us to see, to come to an understanding of why certain things are the way they are. It's really quite a fascinating phenomena. And I think that this is always going to be ongoing. We always can improve. We can always go to that next level. And as far as I'm concerned, it's no big deal that there are other planets out there that have different forms of life on it. I think that's absolutely realistic. We cannot have an arrogant attitude that this little tiny itsy-bitsy speck of something called Earth is the only place where life has evolved. It just doesn't make sense, at least in my mind and a lot of people's minds. I think they may not want to choose to go there. But that's one of the reasons, as we have evolved, we say, what else is out there? There's a lot of things that we're discovering on our own planet that we didn't think was possible. History is being changed every day. We've got upcoming interviews on the history of Egypt. And we are finding there's a lot more of the history of Egypt than what we have been told. How is this happening? Is this coming about? It is because archaeologists, with new tools, are digging up places that are tens of thousands of years old. It's changing everything, and it's changing with an incredible speed. So I think we live, actually, in a wonderful time. I think having people like Bryson and others that are bringing forth information, just, you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist. Just have to say, okay, this is good. We find out what we need to know. Now let's move forward. But let's not move forward in fear. Let's move forward with an understanding we can make a difference, each and every one of us, by being true to what we know is right and by being true to what we need to do. It's a fascinating, fascinating time. So don't be discouraged by what you hear. Understand, you can take up your own initiative. You can do something on your own and make your life a rich experience. And don't be afraid to add to your educational level, because it makes a difference. William Haller made a statement, you can do what you do, accomplish what you want to accomplish, attain any reasonable objective you may have in mind, not all of a sudden, perhaps not in one swift and sweeping act of achievement, but you can do it gradually, day by day, and play by play, if you want to do it. If you work to do it over a sufficiently long period of time. Now, I know in our world, so often we say, we want it quick, we want it quick. But I have yet to meet anyone who is, in my view, a really successful person that has had an overnight success. I have not met one yet. What I have met are people that have been committed, dedicated to whatever it is that they were doing, whether it was becoming a sculptor, whether it was in medicine, business, science, I don't care what it is, because it takes time. It takes time for us to pull everything together. It takes time for us to be able to make things come into their own life. And as he said, if you just do what you need to do day by day, sort of like the little inchworm. inchworm, inchworm, just inch by inch. And that little inchworm covers a lot of territory. So, William Holler, I think you're right, and I think it is something to be at peace with. Who cares how long it might take? Fact is that you get it done, that you reach for what you really, really want and what you love to do. Look at Grandma Moses. She was a painter. She attained fame in her 90s, for heaven's sake. You just never know. It can happen to you when you're younger, that's true, as well as any age thereafter. Dennis Hebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. For those of you in Western Washington, I am going to be doing my last class of the year, November the 3rd, Saturday. It's Quantum Mind 4. There's going to be an email blast that's going to be sent out this week, and it'll also be posted up on my site. And it is going to be a wonderful class. Robert Newman is going to be talking about health secrets for 2013 and beyond via the Eastern world of medicine. And then I'm going to be talking about your own intuitive skills. We'll be discussing colors. We'll be doing exercises where you will stimulate your own intuitive processes and be able to incorporate some of these tools into everyday life. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat at 888-627-6008. Well, two signs left in the fall horoscope for 2012. Leo and Virgo, let's talk about you today. Romance, family, money, travel? Well, let's see what we've got in store for you. You're going to want to take on more responsibility when it comes to the family environment, those of you born under the sign of Leo, because you're going to feel like it's your positioning of responsibility. This is really what you should do. And I think there's going to be people, and family can be an extended group of friends, people that are really going to want to have your support and your guidance. When it comes to money, you are going to find that there is an aspect of increased prosperity, but at the same time, I want you to be wise and have the habit of saving so that you'll be sure to do what you need to do with that financial flow that's going to be in your space and monitor it wisely so that you take care of whatever debt you might have and also that you are putting some away so that you can use it in the future. And for traveling, well, you might decide you want to do a special trip in the latter part of fall. The reason being you've got enough on your plate right now, and so you're saying, okay, I want to wait until I sort of get into the rhythm of the season and then I want to be off and I want to be going and doing it. And I think that's great. Traveling is wonderful for you. And you have an enthusiasm about working with people that I think is great. Virgo, for those of you born under the sign of Virgo, well, I think that you're really setting some priorities in your life. You are wanting to have more involvement in your living environment. So it seems like social activities, bringing friends in, maybe having certain get-togethers with family. This is going to be important to you. You like your private space, but you really want to have these other components around you. And I think communication is going to be very important to you this fall. When it comes to money, well, you're talking a lot about it. There is going to be big conversations about money. There's going to be looking at what can we do for investment. How do we want to work with what's going on? You're very practical and down to earth. And those of you under the sign of Virgo, no matter what might be going on politically, you always like to look at the facts. And I think that you say, okay, if this is A, then this is B. Let's look at how A and B can go to C, or do we want A and B equaling Z? You have a wonderful way of being able to take the facts and put them right in front of yourself and say, let's deal with this, and then where can I move with this information? So that's pretty good. And then traveling, well, you really would just, if you could, you'd have a bag packed and you would just take off for places unknown. You have a real love of expanding yourself through the interaction with other people. So this is a very important time for you. And I think this is one of your favorite seasons in the year. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. And we only have two signs left in the zodiac, Aquarius and Pisces, and I'll share that with you tomorrow. Donna Sebo here. We'll be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. Now, tomorrow, we have a Dr. Dabbs that's going to be on the air with us. Now, he is very interesting. This is a gentleman that is a specialist with back injury. And he's going to be talking about how come or why we have back problems. And I think you'll find his perceptions fascinating. I was talking with a woman who's in her 80s, and she had just gone through some kind of a back surgery. And she said, I want you to know, Donna, that I got one opinion from a doctor, and she said, I didn't like it. And she said, I'm going to get a second opinion. She's in her 80s. Savvy woman. She reads. She keeps up on things. She got another opinion and found that there was a surgery that could be done that was with a laparoscope, so tiny. And her recuperation has been amazing. She was out and about doing what she needed to do and exercise and all kinds of stuff. Fascinating stuff. So we'll be talking about the back tomorrow. Fred Mansky, Core Strategy for Success. This is something that I think always behooves us to pay attention to. Success is a very personal image in our mind. For some people, it's becoming a gazillionaire. For other people, it's raising a wonderful family. That's success. Other people, it's gardening. It all depends on what your image of success is for you, not somebody else's image. And then on Friday, we have a wonderful woman, Lindsay Frucci. The Pig and Me, it's her memoir. And it is an amazing memoir. So we'll be talking with her as well. So we have a delightful group of people that we're sharing with you this week. Be sure to tell your friends about the show. And just know, we're here at the same time every day, and Monday through Friday, and it's my delight to bring these guests to you. I don't know what it's like in your part of the world that you're living in, but I know here in the Pacific Northwest, people are working on their gardens, and we have had just an incredibly beautiful 4 weeks recently, and people that have had fruit trees, and they're just, the fruit, everything is just absolutely amazing. It's just incredible. And a lot of people are preparing their gardens. They're trying to get them ready for winter. And I was surprised about the different types of mulch that's out there. I'm no expert on this, and I know you can buy all kinds of mulch. But I didn't know that what's called a red mulch, it actually can contain arsenic and other harsh chemicals that can have an effect on your children, your pets, and actually will contaminate your soil. And this is something that people have become aware of. And if you have your gardens and you are wanting to make sure that whatever you're growing in your gardens, because the plants will just take up whatever's in the soil. And if it's arsenic, like here in Tacoma, Washington area, we had a particular industrial system that was in place for years, and they warn people around here, before you put anything to grow to eat in your soil, make sure you have it tested for arsenic. You've got to have it tested, because literally tons of the stuff was, you know, filtered through the air, and it's in the soil. And so plants will just pick up those poisons quite naturally. So anyway, that's something that we need to be more aware of. What is the mulch? And if you're in a position like some of the people that I've interviewed on my show through the years, where you can have your own compost piles and you turn those, and they can be leaves, branches that have been ground up. But be aware, you might get a mulch like we did. Some trees were cut on property adjacent to us, and it was all ground up. So they were going to just toss it, and I said, well, we'll take it. We ended up with all kinds. We have literally hundreds of little shoots of madrona trees, because those trees had been chopped up real finely, and the seeds had been in there, and so we had to go out and pull out of our garden all of these little madrona tree growths, because they become huge, huge trees. They're beautiful, but they're huge. And so they love the Pacific Northwest. Well, you'd have a garden of these massive trees if you just let every one of them go and put in a root system, and they develop really quickly. So you might want to find a place that's going to give you the facts about that mulching. Also, just put a light layer of leaves. If you're on the East Coast, leaves will decompose. They're great. Save them. And just put them over as a compost, because they will break down, and in many instances, they can help prevent weeds from popping up. And, you know, it's just amazing what we can do. And I'll tell you, I think it's sort of, and I'm digressing for a moment from the gardening, it's sort of like putting money away. A little bit at a time, consistently, you can save quite a bit. And if you will just keep in mind the consistency of a particular sum, that's not going to make you feel like you're deprived. What about $5? Could you save $5 on a regular basis? There was a fellow who decided he was going to test it out. He saved on a regular basis $5 regularly for 3 years. He found that he acquired, and he just $5 here, $5 there, $5 here, $5 there. He saved $12,000 in 3 years. Think of how nice that would be. You could take a trip, do whatever you wanted to do, or invest with it. 3 years, he managed to save $5. The way he did it, every time he had a $5 bill come his way, he'd pop it into his piggy bank, wherever that was. So keep that in mind. Little sums, little steps can take you a long way, bringing you a gift that maybe you would never dreamed possible. So just a thought there. This is Donna Sebo. We are out of time, and I'm just so delighted you were able to join me today. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is an adventure. UFOs, aliens, scientific discoveries, the development of mind skills, all that and much, much more. It never ends. Life truly is an adventure. And if you are one of those adventuresome types, you'll always find that growing and learning is an exciting part of life. Enjoy. This is a beautiful day in your life. And maybe your own special miracle will come along and shake hands with you. Enjoy to the fullest. This is Donna. Talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. See you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.